friends. I'm your host, Olivia McLeod, and this is our first episode. So I want to go ahead and start this podcast by outlining what we're going to be about, okay? So this is The Brave Ones. We're talking about bravery. And a lot of people think that bravery is synonymous with being fearless. But I disagree. I don't really think that's true, because I think that a lot of us are really brave, but none of us are fearless. We're all living with fear every single day, and we're living our lives and we're doing amazing things while we're still afraid. So I'd like to reframe bravery here, okay? I'm going to define bravery here on The Brave Ones as being afraid to do something, being terrified to do something, and doing it anyway. That's bravery. That's what I think bravery is, at least. And with that term, we're all brave. So here on the show, I'm gonna have a new guest every week come on and talk about their brave story. So today, our first guest on The Brave Ones is an engineer. He's brilliant and he's got some brave stories to talk about. He's also my boyfriend. I'd like to welcome Gino Giannetti.
Hi. I think you may have oversold me a bit there.
You know, it's actually in my job description as girlfriend to overhype you.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to have you on today because I know that you're not ever the first person to admit you're brave, but I see you living bravely every day.
Yeah, I was just about to tell you, a lot of times the things I'm doing, I don't necessarily see as brave. But when you define it the way that you did, you know, knowing that there are maybe consequences or things that could happen if you do some action and doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you define bravery like that, then suddenly a lot of actions become brave actions.
Yeah. All right, so Gina, can you tell me about a time in your life when you were terrified to do something, but you did it anyway?
Of course. So when you told me about this show and, you know, what you talked about and what kind of stories you wanted to hear, I immediately thought of this one thing, and I'm sure you know what it is.
Right.
So to understand this, I have to go back a little bit to high school. So in high school, I knew I wanted to be a physicist. I knew it in my heart. I knew from freshman or sophomore year in high school that I wanted to study physics and I wanted to get a PhD and I wanted to have this grand life that I always thought came with, you know, all of that, you know, the prestige, the recognition, the quality of work and things like that. I just knew it in my heart.
Yeah.
And so I studied physics at my undergraduate university, University of Illinois. And while there, my curiosity stayed strong. It maybe wavered near the end there as I had to get more into kind of the administrative tasks. So like becoming a TA and seeing kind of behind the scenes of what's going on and then
what
seeing,
actually happens in academia physics. Yeah.
It's hearing all these grad students be like, you know, complain that they can't ever go out on Saturdays because their professors require them to work one day a weekend.
Ugh.
Things like that. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, well, if I really love it, then I wouldn't mind at all. And I just keep telling myself this.
Mm-hmm.
And for a large part of that time, that's true. I don't mind doing that. I actually enjoy it. But, you know, I hear whispers and things like PhD in physics isn't as robust as people think. There's not many jobs in academia left.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm good at physics, but I wasn't even the best in my class at University of Illinois. And so just think that there's all these positions or these really smart kids who want to be professors as well. And they want to be physicists and researchers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's me, kind of, you know, not the top of the pack at my undergraduate university.
You were pretty close, though.
I mean,
you had a lot of validation, a lot of still prestige behind your work, and
yeah, the enthusiasm was sure there.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is that the slots open were rare.
Yeah.
And the students applying to be physicists seemed like was way outnumbering the positions open.
Right.
So it began to take kind of a depressing turn, like where I would look at future options and things like that and say to myself, okay, well, all I gotta do is be the best. All I gotta do is be the best, you know, and then I can get this job that I want. And so I, you know, almost, I wouldn't say out of peer pressure, but just kind of going through the motions, I applied to all these grad schools. I got into a couple good ones, and I ended up going to University of California, Santa Barbara on a physics scholarship for graduate school. And so when I got there, all these signs that were telling me, hey, maybe this isn't exactly what you want.
Like, what were some of the signs?
So some of the signs were, like I said, like these positions that were filling up and there's too many students to fill them up. And then the administrative stuff, the red tape, the grant writing. The fact that professors, they don't even do the research themselves. They just kind of direct people.
Right.
You know, I want to be in the weeds. I want to be doing that. And so if I'm only doing that as a graduate student, and graduate student life is, I mean, it's
not quite glamorous.
It's not glamorous at all. I think that's a great way to describe it. It's not glamorous. You're kind of behind the scenes. You don't really get to take credit for a lot of the things that you do. You know, so that it started to not sound very appealing to me. And then when I hit graduate school at UC Santa Barbara, it all hit me at once. I was like, I don't want to do this. I can't see myself doing this. And so it started as myself saying, okay, I'll just get a job in industry when I'm done. And then I'll just get a job. I'll just get my master's and see how I feel, if I still want to continue. And I'm only there for 5 months before I realize I don't want to be here at all. It progresses to that. And it was just everything kind of slowly dawning on me. Searching for opportunities outside academia and seeing all these positions, or kind of maybe the lack of positions open to people who spent the last 6 years in academia.
Right.
So, you know, I wanted to make myself flexible, but still engage with this curiosity that was kind of driving me to study this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of made the decision all of a sudden to drop out of grad school. And I didn't have a safety net lined up. I didn't have a job.
And you didn't have connections out here either.
No,
because you uprooted.
Yeah, I didn't know anybody out here but you, really.
Right. And I can't give you a job, so.
Yeah, that's for certain. Yeah, you didn't tell me that before, so.
Yeah, sorry.
So I left graduate school. And I barely told anybody because I was so ashamed. First.
And there's going to be probably some people who will hear this episode and that's the first time they know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a public person. I don't announce things on Facebook. So if you aren't one of my, you know, close friends, you don't know. But you also probably don't care. So, I mean, it evens out there.
So it seems like half of the fear of leaving grad school is having no safety net, having no job lined up. But then half of it also is kind of like abandoning that identity.
Right. That's a good point. So, I mean, I had been studying physics for so long that all my friends knew me as the physics guy, the guy studying physics. Hey, you can help me out with my math homework. You're studying physics.
That was me.
Yeah. And a lot of my friends were going through the motions themselves and going to grad school, and a lot of them were really loving it. And so I felt more of this shame and like, why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling like I don't belong in this grad school program? And, you know, my parents would introduce me as, hey, this is our son Gino. He goes to graduate school in physics. And then that's the only thing they would remember about me, and so they would ask about it when they met me or they saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is such a huge part of my identity that I was just kind of giving up. And there was a lot of fear in that. Like, what would people think of me that I've fallen so far?
Yeah.
You know, because I left graduate school and I was almost couch surfing, but only at your place.
just one.
Yeah. I mean, in layman's terms, I moved in with you.
Yeah.
I began job searching. I did some odd jobs on the side. And eventually I came to a place where I found a really good job where I'm able to be creative and also kind of get in the weeds and do stuff that I like and apply these mathematical concepts that I've learned to kind of help a business out and help people out in turn.
So your job now, how is it different from physics?
So I became an engineer at a telecom company, and I won't name too many details, but it is surprisingly, you know, I have a lot of freedom to do what I want, to study what I want, and to kind of apply these things how I see fit. And it's just so enlightening to me. And I really, what I wanted was this practical knowledge when I left. When I left graduate school, I wanted practical knowledge so that I could apply it and use it to help the greater good, instead of kind of making a research paper that will maybe be read in 20 years.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I got this great job, and I'm right now it doesn't feel like I made a tough decision at all. But at the time, I was very scared. And looking back, I guess, yeah, you could say that it was a brave decision to kind of stop and pursue what I wanted instead of staying in this life that I knew that I didn't want.
Can you elaborate on that fear that you were feeling at the time? Because really, also, when you were saying that you didn't really tell anybody how you were feeling about leaving and becoming disillusioned, I didn't even really know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want to add, like, at the time, I knew that you were having a tough time in your program and you weren't loving it. But the weekend that you decided to do it, I was there. I was there visiting.
Right.
And I decided that weekend, I made a big decision that I wanted to drop out of my sorority. And that was huge, and you were so supportive. Right. I leave Monday, you text me, and you decide to one-up me and say, yeah, I'm dropping out of grad school.
Well, you know, I said to myself, she can't get the last word here. And so, you know, I made a big decision. But honestly, the fear that you asked me to elaborate on, it was mainly a fear of being seen as a failure, because I couldn't cope with this kind of intensive program. And, you know, the truth that I was trying to tell myself and I was trying to get across was that I didn't want to deal. I didn't want to have to deal with that program. You know, it wasn't for me anymore.
Yeah.
And now I'm really loving the knowledge that I'm picking up at work, just being an engineer. And I still go back and read physics books in my spare time. I keep up with physics news. You know, it's still very dear to my heart. I have several books in our little collection here that are just physics related, you know, a lot of biophysics and things like that. You know, it wasn't a decision out of hate. It just wasn't for me. And so I was really fearful of being seen as a failure. I guess that probably sums it up the best.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's a fear that I know I've seen in you, being the person who knows you so well. And I really do see you being brave in that way every day, because I know that that's something you fear, but you put yourself out there and you put your work out into the world every day, regardless.
Yeah. So, I mean, since that move that I made, I've seen myself just start to kind of open up a lot more, things I wouldn't do before. And I was really closed off because I was maybe fearful of what people would think of me. Now I have this kind of process in my head where it's like, oh, well, this next thing I'm about to do, it's not dropping out of grad school. And so I do it, and then everything's fine. And so it's like this feedback loop that I'm just getting, you know, I can do these braver and braver things. And it's really cool. I'm enjoying this kind of new existence.
Okay, so leaving grad school was clearly like a monumental change in your life. That was something big that totally changed the trajectory of where you are now. But I want you to now think about a time that you would never think to call brave, something smaller that you would overlook. But truly, when you think back on it, you were scared and you still did it.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to draw on a TA story. again, you know, physics is such a part of my past. It's hard to avoid. But I was a physics TA in undergrad, and I taught, you know, intro physics to engineers. And so I was only like 2 or 3 years older than the people in the class. And I mean, it was my major, but, you know, a lot of kids are really smart, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So my fear, I'll break it down like this. My fear was that they're going to see right through me. And so I forget the name of it, but it's like
imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I was like, they're going to see right through me. They're going to be like, fake. You know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Who do you think you are to be teaching us? Exactly. We're just as smart as you.
Yeah. And so my first day, I planned so meticulously every question that they could ever possibly ask. I had it written down on a note card somewhere.
Oh, I can imagine you doing this. I didn't know you yet, but yeah. God, I can imagine it.
Yeah, and so, and I should say, I didn't really like public speaking either. This wasn't a huge class. It was maybe 25 students. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all eyes would be on me. Yeah, so my fear was public speaking, imposter syndrome, pretty much what's normal in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew that I had to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Or else they would fire me as a TA. I mean, it was an enjoyable position, but the first day I got up there and I must have looked like a wreck. And then I just started talking and nobody, you know, nobody was raising their hand. Nobody was pointing out errors in what I was writing on the board. And so as I was getting through it, I was like, this isn't so bad. Okay, I could, you know, I could just do my thing up here. And they just listen. And if they have any questions, they'll stop me. And, you know, mm-hmm. suddenly it got into a bit of a flow. And now every Friday, this is when the discussion was, I was actually enjoying going to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, not a lot of people ask these really difficult questions that I had set up in my mind. And it felt good helping people kind of understand these concepts that maybe they weren't as passionate about as I was.
Yeah.
And so it kind of turned from a situation I was a little bit fearful, to a situation that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. Hmm. I think the best example of why we should be brave is when we see the stories of when fear turns into joy and greater curiosity. And that seems like that's kind of what happened to you there.
Definitely. Yeah, especially both cases. I found, you know, I really enjoyed teaching. I found that I love helping people through concepts that I may know myself. And I also love learning about, you know, telecom engineering.
Yeah.
It's just become kind of a passion of mine over the last year or so.
Yeah.
As you may have noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, working on it constantly.
Yeah.
So now that you are living your life bravely every day and really being, like, becoming more conscious about it too and being able to compare it to a huge time in your life when you were brave, do you have any advice, do you know, that you could give to our listeners on how they can be brave in their lives?
Mainly one piece of advice, and it applies to both of my stories. Don't give a shit about what people think of you. Just do what makes you feel happy, what drives you, what motivates you. Do that. Mm. And people often don't care as much as you think they do in your head.
That's so true.
And so you'll gain this confidence, and you'll be doing something that you like. So it's just a win-win.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I've learned from my two experiences that I've shared.
Yeah, and I feel like that's so often the biggest fear that we're all feeling is, what if I look like an idiot?
Yeah.
What if, you know, what if I fail? What will other people think?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that holds us back the most. So that's really important advice.
To be fair, I often look at people and be like, oh, what an idiot.
Oh, don't say that. Nobody's going to be brave now. Okay, well, I hope all of you listeners take that advice, and I hope that you don't give a shit what other people think, and especially I hope you don't give a shit what Gino thinks. So.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Okay, this has been the first episode of The Brave Ones. Come back again next week, and we'll have a new episode, and every week after that for quite a while. The Brave Ones is part of the Basement Buzz Network. I'm Olivia McLeod. Stay updated on all of our newest episodes and our news at www.braveonespodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Brave Ones Pod, and like us on Facebook.